Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we have heard your word, would you help our hearts to receive it, that we might delight to be a people with repentant hearts, filled with faith, receiving your goodness. Father, you have brought us from a long way off to draw us near. So by your word, would you teach us that we may love you with the depth of the love of Christ, that we may know you because we are known in Christ, that we may give you all that belongs to you because you have given us your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Betrayal is relational. Have you ever betrayed anyone? Betrayal is relational. At those times when betrayal happens, you may look back upon it and not realize what weight that betrayal held in a relationship. When I was in college, one afternoon I was with some young men in the dorm I lived in. They were soccer players and baseball players. And we were standing at the steps, the top of a hill, just about to descend to the dorm, and we were having a lively conversation. And we were talking about our coaches. And at one point, I took off my shoes and got down on my knees, and I began to act like the baseball coach. His name was Gerald Opp. King was a small school, so he taught economics and he coached baseball. He was a very lively gentleman with lots of hand motions and very dramatic in his response. And so as I began to do my best parody on Gerald Opp, a crowd began to gather. And they began to watch as I did this little parody. And several baseball players were in the midst and they were laughing as hard as they could laugh. And then all of a sudden, they went ashen. I was still doing my best Gerald Opp impersonation. They went ashen. You could just see it. Just locked up. Well, up the hill, the next building up the hill from our dorm was the business hall. No one ever came out the back of the business hall because you had to go down a big hill. They always went out the front of the business hall. But as I looked back over my shoulder, standing on the back porch of the business hall was Gerald Opp. Haunting. Haunting was the look in his eyes as he realized I was making fun of him. By the way, I had him for microeconomics. He looked with disgust upon me and particularly upon the baseball players who were laughing. I'll never forget that look. It was weeks, months even, before I could look Gerald Opp in the eye and even speak to him, because while my parody was funny, it was not helpful. And he was hurt. You ever been there when you did something just because it was the thing to do in the moment, and then all of a sudden you realize the weight that it carried with another? Have you ever been there in a place where you could have gone one of two ways and you chose the way that might bring some praise from others but might bring disdain on the name of another? Betrayal happens all the time. Betrayal is a part of human condition, isn't it? It's not one that we like to consider. But when we think of sin, we must realize that sin always is betrayal. Because sin is relational. Betrayal is relational and sin is relational. Whatever we do, however we respond in relationship with those we care, it carries weight. It has effect. Effect on us and effect on others. So when a spouse walks out on a spouse, that's betrayal. When a parent walks out on a child, there is this feeling of loss and betrayal. When a child in their teen years knows more than everyone else in the room and they walk out on their parents, that is betrayal. When someone comes along who promises that they will take care of you, just invest a little here, and you realize after you've made that investment, there was no intention on paying up, there's betrayal. When you have shared a confidence with another, when you have trusted them with the deep parts of your heart as you anguish over decisions to be made, when you trust them and they speak that flippantly to another, there is betrayal. Betrayal is a human condition in a fallen world. But it's not how we treat each other alone. It's often how we treat God. We think of the grand betrayer in our text, Judas. But the truth is, what separated Judas from the other disciples was not merely betrayal. All the disciples in the room, the upper room with Jesus this evening, would in some way walk out on him for a time. They would all be scattered. What was different was not just the betrayal, but the hardness and calculating coldness of the heart of Judas in refusing the love of God. We too can refuse God's love. There are times when betrayal is a mark of our relationship with God too, isn't it? You ever been there, like a Judas moment in your life where you believe God didn't have your best interest in mind? He didn't have your best hopes for the future in mind? And your thought was, well, maybe I'll sell out God before God sells out me. Betrayal. Taking care of oneself at the expense of relationship to God is sin. It's betrayal. Have you ever been at that point where you had beautiful plans for your day, beautiful plans for your life, but the way the day went, the way things worked out with God, it didn't quite go that way. And in your heart, you became upset with God. You felt betrayed. God, I had great plans for you. You felt distant. I promise the one who's moved is not God, but you. You see, there's this sense in our relationship with God that when we step out on God, we have most hurt ourselves. The betrayal of Christ is always a betrayal of self. And we see that in our text this morning, don't we? We see the heart of a Savior, even for the one who would betray Him, even the one who would betray Him to death. You see, the disloyalty of a friend is the deepest wound. But the sacrifice of a friend is the deepest gift. We live in Jesus' love, or we live in the depths of betrayal. This morning, there is a decision for all of us. We either live in Jesus' love, or we live in the depths of absence of relationship, in betrayal, not trusting God. That was at the heart of Judas's predicament this morning. He came to a point where he did not trust the Savior. Now, Jesus has his disciples. He has them in an upper room. They are eating a meal together. The eve of his march to the crucifixion, they are eating a dinner at the Passover dinner, a redemptive meal in the story of Israel. They are eating the Passover meal together. And it's here that Jesus exposes the heart, the motives, the actions of Judas. You see this morning a betrayal, and then you see the call of love in our text this morning. There is betrayal and there is the beloved. And so I want you to see that with me this morning. You see, the cross teaches us, it teaches us that God loves us in supreme ways. And we see that coming here in the text. In chapter 13, when you begin in verse 18, it is a switch. It's still in that point where Jesus, in verses 1 through 17, has just washed his disciples' feet. He has told them that they are to serve the way he is serving. It's a picture of the cross. And then he turns to speak to Judas. He knows who he's chosen, he tells us in verse 18. And that there is one in the midst of friends, who will lift his heel, one who has shared the bread with the Lord, one who has eaten from his table, one who has taken of his friendship, who will betray. The disciples are confused. Judas is quiet, but God exposes the plot in Judas's own heart. Notice the betrayal. With close friends, Jesus is in bitter spirits. Why? Because he knows what no one else in the room knows, that he is about to be betrayed unto death. Notice there in verse 13, I am not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. That's from Psalm 41:9. And then in verse 19, I tell you this now, that now before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe that I am truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in spirit, and he testified, truly, 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 I say to you, one of you will betray me. You see Jesus' prediction there? It's a prediction to a play actor, but it's his prediction. Jesus knows what is concealed. What Judas has concealed from all others is not concealed from the Lord. Jesus says, what's going to happen? One of you. And his comments are directed to the disciples, but they're particularly directed to Judas. One of you will betray me. Jesus is not a hapless victim here. Jesus is not one who is easily taken in. Jesus is not alone. Here is a sovereign appraisal of the situation. Jesus knows Judas's heart better than Judas knows Judas's heart. And he speaks the truth of betrayal that would send him to a cross. Even as Judas walks out on Jesus, Jesus has not walked out on the world. And he hasn't walked out on Judas here either. What we see here is in this sincerest of appraisal of the situation, this sovereign declaration, we see also here a sincere appeal to his heart. Notice as the disciples begin to wonder, they're a little confused there. And so Peter speaks up. He asks John to figure out who it is, who's going to betray him. John, we can tell from the text, was they were reclined at table. The Jews didn't recline at every meal, but at special meals they would recline. They would lay on their shoulder and they would eat. And you were often put by prominence of position around the host. And we know that John was lying in front of Jesus. And Peter, who you might think should have been in the place of a position, he's somewhere across the table. He asked John to find out who's going to be the betrayer. John leans back to Jesus' chest and he says, who will do this? And Jesus says to John, the one that I give the morsel, the one that I dip and give the morsel, he is the one who will betray me. And we're told here in the text, that's what Jesus does. Jesus, he gives this piece, he gives it to Judas. Notice there in verse 25, and Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, son of Iscariot. And then after he had taken the morsel, that's Judas, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said, what you are going to do, do quickly. You see here, this whole act in the ancient Near East of giving from your own plate a piece, dipped, and that was a sign of friendship. Even to the last moment, Jesus is giving a sincere appeal to the conscience of Judas. He gives him this peace. It's a sign of friendship to the one, the very one, who would betray him unto death. You know, in Dante's Inferno, his fanciful telling of hell, he has his nine circles or his nine levels of hell. The innermost level of hell has the betrayers of their master. And in the mouth of Satan is Judas, being gnawed on for eternity. It's a terrible betrayal of God himself. But at the same time, we need to see Jesus in his plea. Friendship he had offered. Now, the disciples, they don't get it, do they? Why? Because Judas was quite a good play actor. You know, play acting is great for the theater, isn't it? It's great for the theater, but it's bad for friendship. Judas, the one who receives, there's no indication that the disciples understood at all what was happening with Judas. He had not tipped his hand to any of them, but Jesus knows his heart. And Jesus gives him this morsel. He is possessed by the evil one. And Jesus speaks to him, bring it on. What you going to do? Go do it quickly. Judas is dismissed and the disciples, well, they think he's the guy with the money bags. He's the faithful one. He's the trustworthy one. Maybe he's going to give something to the poor. Maybe he's going to provide for the dinner. But they were clueless. Because while he looked good on the outside, on the inside, Judas was filled with hypocrisy. You see, above all things this morning, Jesus cares about the heart. And Jesus cares about your heart. Above all things this morning, the goal of church is not to come and look good, look like we belong. The goal of the church is to come and to have our hearts summoned and saved by Jesus. Jesus cares most about the heart. Even the one who would betray him. Sovereignly, he knows, this is my enemy. Sincerely, he appeals to the friendship that has been offered. But the scripture may be fulfilled. Judas departs the scene. And Jesus isn't lost in this moment, is he? He's not lost at betrayal. No, he turns his heart to the beloved. And he gives them the charge to love. Notice there in our text, as Jesus speaks after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately, that is Judas, went out and it was night. He went in out into the night and the disdain of his soul. There was a full moon in the sky, so it was well lighted, but there was a darkness in his soul and Judas was gone. But Jesus turns to his disciples. And when Judas had gone out, Jesus said to them, "Now is the Son of Man glorified and God glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." How does Jesus take betrayal? Jesus takes betrayal as an unveiling of his glory, his cross, his victory. Notice here, Jesus is glorified in his greatest humiliation, is his eternal glorification. How is Jesus known in heaven? As the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Read the book of Revelation at some point. When you read the book of Revelation, how do you discern and decipher the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation is a book that says God wins. God wins. That's the key to the book of Revelation. God wins. And how has he won? He has won by descending into humiliation, the humiliation of the cross, that he may be glorified forever as the Savior, the Lamb who takes away sin. Jesus knows, even before the cross is taken, that his victory is sure. His glory is secure in the ways of the Father. And so Jesus speaks to his disciples. Knowing his glory is revealed in the cross, he calls his disciples to what? To love, as he is loved. It's a necessary glory that gives way to a new commandment for the beloved in Christ. There in verse 34, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Notice there, Jesus gives what we desire most. And Jesus calls us to give what he has given us. The hallmark of the Christian faith is the love of Christ. But it's interesting here. Jesus gives them a new command, he says. Now, many of you will know that command from the days of Moses. It's as old as Moses himself in Scripture. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, what does God say to Moses? That he is to tell the people that they are to love their neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now that comes off of the greatest command. Jesus gives two great commands, right? Comes off the greatest command we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that we are to love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And Jesus would say the second is likewise, love your neighbor as yourself. The command itself has stood for ages, but what is new about the command? There's a newness in its degree and its depth. Did you notice there? When Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you," he's not giving a new standard. He's giving a new depth to that standard. "A new commandment I give you that you love one another just as I have loved you." No longer do the disciples of Christ, those of us who are in Jesus, no longer do we get to love others like we love ourselves. No, we have to love others the way Jesus has loved us. Well, that's a whole new ballgame, isn't it? I mean, I love Chris. And I can love him like I love myself, but if I love him like I have been loved by Jesus, well, that's a whole new depth to my love for Chris. I can't just say, how far would I go for me? That's how far I get to go for Chris. No, I say, how far is Jesus going for Chris? That's how far I have to be willing to go for Chris. I love you, Chris, but that's a long ways. You see the new depth here. Selfless, sincere love to the depths of our being, because we have been loved, so shall we love. Because we have been served, so shall we serve to the depths. Because Jesus gave up all. We are called to sincerely love one another. You know, that's not only the depth, but it's the source. This is not something you can do on your own, by the way. Love others the way Jesus has loved. You can only love others with the love of Jesus if you've been affected by Jesus. So you love others because you have been loved in Christ. The love you share is because of the love you receive. And the depth of that love is supernaturally empowered. You have no greater love in the love of Christ. And that's how we're to love one another in the world around us. See what Jesus is setting up for us as he set up for the disciples. He's setting up for them this picture of one that goes all the way in giving everything for those who have no real thing to offer him. Yes, Judas betrayed Jesus. It was cold, hard, and calculating. Next, we'll see that Peter betrayed Jesus. It was out of fear, and maybe it was flippant in some ways. The difference between Judas and Peter was the heart. One could only depend on himself. The other was grieved in spirit to the dependence upon Jesus. When we betray Jesus, we go deeper into his love. And when we go deeper into his love, we go out with that love. That's the heart of the Savior in saving us. And it's the heart of the Savior for his church and for his church's influence into the world. The truth is, you and I, we've never been betrayed by God. But again and again, we have betrayed our Maker and our Redeemer. It's a hard word. We don't like to think of ourselves as betrayers. We don't want to look at those situations in our lives like me with Gerald Opp and think about the harm that we bring into others. But you know, until you see the problem, you can't understand the remedy. And Jesus takes us beyond our betrayal. Jesus takes us beyond our betrayal that we may receive him and that we may share him in the world that we are living in. So Jesus presses through our betrayal to share life and love with us. Personally to be received, corporately to be shared. Betrayal is a hard thing. It pulls the winds out of our sails. There are many things that Hollywood doesn't do well. But one of the things that Hollywood does well is it gets this sense of dysfunction, this sense of betrayal. Now, one of my favorite movies, the movie Braveheart, though you might question its historicity, it is a story that is gripping. In the story of Braveheart, Mel Gibson plays William Wallace. William Wallace is bent on saving Scotland, freeing Scotland from England. And he has trying to bring the commoners and the nobles together. And there's a point where the commoners and the nobles have come together to go to war against English forces. And William Wallace believes he has the nation together, and he believes that he is going to win. And at the point of the battle, the nobles defect. They turn. And the battle is going awry, and all of a sudden, the King of England and his host, they begin to ride off. And Wallace pulls an English soldier off of his horse, and he runs after them full speed. And one of the guys who have been most strongly, or at least William Wallace has been most strongly aligned with in the story, is a guy named Robert the Bruce. who was to be heir to the King of Scotland, who was to be the King of Scotland, heir to the throne. And at that point, one of the noblemen with the king turns to a guy who is in a knight's vest, covered, and he says, "Protect the king." And the guy runs, and William Wallace and the guy, they're running towards each other, and Wallace is unhorsed. And the knight circles back around because Wallace looks like he's dead. And as he gets close to Wallace, Wallace pulls him off the horse, and he begins to pull out his knife, and he takes off his knight's helmet, and he realizes that it's Robert the Bruce. Easily in that moment, he could have taken his life. But in that moment, it's like a sword is plunged into his heart and his soul. And he staggers back. And it's if the mortal blow has hit him. He steps back and he falls to the ground, and you can just see the angst of betrayal in his eyes. We have all betrayed God just like that. We have betrayed the one who has given us everything. Our betrayal is significant. But God reaches beyond our betrayal. In his death on a cross, he purposely gives us a love that goes beyond our betrayal. See, Jesus saves us from sin and betrayal in a supreme act of love. That's why you must see this morning that Christianity as a relationship, it goes beyond lists. There is right and wrong. There are do's and don'ts, but you can't bring Christianity down to a list of right and wrongs. You can't bring it down to a list of do's and don'ts. You have to see it in the context of relationship. Sin. Why do we suffer in sin? Because it mars relationship with God. And how has Jesus overcome that? With giving His life, His perfect life, in a perfect death, for a perfect salvation to your soul. Friend, I want you to see the relational qualities of the text this morning. You need a Savior who loves you, not only in your sin, but through your sin, with His perfect righteousness. Your sin may drop you low, but His love descends even lower to draw us out. That's the reason for Christian holiness, by the way. We've been loved with a greater love than any could ever deserve. We've been loved with a greater love that pursues us through our betrayal, through death and sin, to life eternal. And because we have received the love of Christ, we share the love. You see, that's what has effect on the way we relate to one another in the world around us. What has effect is the way God has related to us. Because He has loved us to the depths, we can love one another freely. You see, the love we receive is the love that we are free to share. The love we receive is the love we are free to share. One of the things my kids like to ask me is, who is their favorite? I mean, who is my favorite? Not their favorite, my favorite. Who's your favorite? And I have a favorite Joshua. And I have a favorite Christopher. And I have a favorite Micah. And a favorite Noah. And a favorite Carabeth. Carabeth just comes back and says, but I'm your favorite daughter, right? Because there's a lesson there in the Coleman house. Love doesn't divide. Love multiplies. And love is meant to share. As it shares, it grows. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. Jesus, supreme act of love, multiplies love to us and it multiplies love through us. And we are free to share the love that is given. Nelson and Virginia Bell served the mission field for over 35 years in China. Not sure that you've ever heard of the Bells. They were great missionary statesmen. Bell ran a series of hospitals in China. He was the leader administratively, but he had a real heart for people in the knowledge of the gospel. So he would do his work, but he would also share his love freely and gospel love freely with those that he came in contact with. When he retired from the mission field, he moved in across the street. He moved in across the street in Montreat, North Carolina, from his daughter, Ruth Bell Graham, and her husband, Billy. So Billy and Ruth lived across the street from Ruth's missionary parents. And one evening, they were all the family. They were to go to an event together that they needed to dress up for. And so Ruth went over to see how her parents were doing and to help them get ready if they needed to get ready so they could go to the event together. And as daughters do, she just walked into the house. And she walked back into the bedroom. And Nelson was helping Virginia put on her pantyhose. You know, no kid ever wants to see Dad putting on Mom's pantyhose. And so she kind of laughed and she said, "Oh, Dad, why don't you let me do that? I'm sorry." And Nelson stood up and said, "No, leave this room now. It is my great joy to serve your mom this way. We have served in life together. It's my great joy to serve her." See, for Nelson, it was an act of love to help his aged wife with whatever she needs. That's a manifestation of the gospel in the life of one. But what's the manifestation of the gospel in our lives? You see, we descend to share love one with another. When Jesus loved us, He loved us to the full extent, John tells us in John 13. He loved us to the end of His life. And then back again in resurrection. Don't love in ways that are comfortable. Love in ways that are sacrificial. May the sacrificial love of Christ for us drive us into sacrificial love for one another in the community around us. So it's easy for me to talk about love with Chris. Because Chris is not real high maintenance in our relationship right now. But what if he became high maintenance? Then it might be a challenge. You see, the goal of the church is not to pull back from what is hard. But it's to step into what is sacrificial. Because we know sacrifice in the love of our Savior. You got hardships? We've got community. You've got pain? We've got life in Christ. You need answers? Jesus meets you where you are in His people. A new command, Jesus says, I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. You want to know what overcomes betrayal? A love that gives deeply, sincerely, and hopefully. Because the cross of Christ has triumphed. You're not free this morning if you're not in Jesus. And your only freedom for life is the freedom that comes by faith in the one who endured the cross and rose again, that His love might affect our love. You see, to be loved is to show love in God's world. Do you know how you're loved this morning in Jesus? Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we are thankful. We're thankful that we have You, because if we're honest with ourselves, loving each other well is an area of growth for us. But we know it's because we haven't been infected enough by the love of Christ. So Father, focus our hearts on the first thing, on the life-giving sacrifice that shown to us by the power of Your Spirit and Your Word would change our hearts to love each other well. Father, would You give us the love of Christ deeply, that we might give that love to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.